Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. It's not warm when she's away.
Well, no sooner did we get out from under the polar vortex than another round of frigid weather is sweeping across the nation from Denver to Atlanta. While most meteorologists focus on weather patterns, we also know that the sun's behavior plays a role in regulating winter temperatures. It's through what's known as the solar cycle. And what's remarkable about the solar cycle right now is how quiet it is. The word sleepy has been used to describe the sun right now. So sleepy, in fact, it hasn't been this quiet in about 100 years. David Hathaway is solar astronomer at NASA's Marshall Space Flight Center and joins me now. Hi, David.
Hello, Todd.
Well, how do we know that the sun is actually sleepy? I mean, it seems to be anything but.
It's pretty simple. We count sunspots. Sunspots are dark, cooler regions on the surface of the sun where intense magnetic fields loop up from the sun's interior, and we've been observing them for 400 years now, since Galileo first used his telescope. And we can count sunspots, and we see that they go through this 11-year cycle of no sunspots to 100, 200 on the sun on a day, back to none again. And we are now in at the maximum of a sunspot cycle, but it's the smallest sunspot cycle in 100 years.
And the last time this happened, people actually noticed that it affected the weather here on Earth. Is it too soon to tell whether this sleepy cycle is actually making it colder? Does it happen that fast?
It takes a long time to see it. Again, it's actually a fairly small effect. And what the sun does, it's actually brighter when there are more sunspots by about a tenth of a percent. And it's somewhat darker when there aren't any sunspots. But that tenth of a percent corresponds to about a tenth of a degree centigrade, so two-tenths of a degree Fahrenheit. It's a pretty small effect.
So the Earth's climate, because of carbon dioxide and other greenhouse gases, is warming. There may be a counter trend because of a sleepy sun cycle that it's actually cooling a tiny bit. And I read that, and it made me think a lot of people are going to misconstrue a cold winter or a couple of icy days or a, frozen Northern Europe or something and say, see, this global warming isn't really happening at all. And that might be a little misleading.
You have to separate weather and climate. Climate are long-term averages. In fact, right now, if you ask the Australians what it was like, they'd tell you, in fact, it's very hot right now. But again, that's weather. Climate are decade-long averages of temperatures. And so we can't really go by the fact that it's cold outside right now and say, well, there, it's cooling, not warming.
Is there an advantage to this sleepy peak in the sun cycle? I mean, I remember hearing as a kid that fewer sunspots means better radio reception, maybe cell phones work better, communications. What are the effects in other parts of life here?
There are those aspects that when the sun is quite active, it can disrupt radio communications. For the climate end of things, the sun did go through a period back in the 1600s of no sunspots at all for 70 years. Basically, the sunspot cycle stopped for 70 years. We call it the Maunder minimum. And there is some suspicion among my colleagues that we may be heading into another one of those. And the good part of it is that you'd have less disruption of radio communications. The satellites stay in orbit longer when the sun is very active. The Earth's atmosphere heats up and expands. So satellites like the space station, in fact, experience drag that can make their orbits spiral in, and that is lessened if the sun is less active. So there may be good things about it like that. Scientifically, of course, the big thing for us is we weren't around in the 1600s to see exactly how the sun did it and how it came out of it. And so as scientists, we're interested in exactly how the sun does this.
If you were a tourist about to head to Alaska to see the Aurora Borealis, the Northern Lights, you might want to put it off. It might not be your year. You might want to wait till the next peak in the sun cycle. That's David Hathaway, solar astronomer at NASA's Marshall Space Flight Center. David, thank you so much.
You're welcome, Todd.